Well, hello and welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist podcast with Dr. Bobby Conway. Today we're going to be talking about what are the makings of a good apologist.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions,
to give a defense.
Well, welcome. My name is Tim. I'm on the 1 Minute Apologist team, and we are doing this podcast because our essence is that we want to be able to give credible answers to curious questions that people have. And we have a number of resources at 1MinuteApologist.com that you can check out, blogs and videos. And this is just another resource. So if there is somebody that as you're listening to this podcast that you feel like we answer a question that they might have, feel free to share this episode with them. Subscribe yourself. If you came across this podcast someplace else, feel free to subscribe. This podcast comes out weekly, and we're just excited that you are taking a listen to this podcast. Last week, we talked about how to become an apologist. We looked at a number of the different aspects of what an apologist is and what apologetics is in general and how that kind of plays out practically. And this week, we're going to be talking about what's the making of a good apologist. There's good apologists, there's bad apologists, there's people that are effective and ineffective, there's people that draw people in to Christ as they give their answers, and there's some that push people away. I am reminded of a quote from Bobby, from your book, from the Fifth Gospel, where you were talking about that one of the largest deconverters of Christianity is Christians. And so in a real practical way, as we are going out into the world and being ambassadors for Jesus, we want to do it in a way that shows who Jesus really is and the way that we approach apologetics and our defense. And I know that that's one thing that you and I have talked a lot about and is a huge passion of yours. And I think one of the topics that kind of goes along with this is your book, The Fifth Gospel. So if you're interested in kind of more of this topic that we're going to be discussing today, I would definitely check out that book, The Fifth Gospel. I'm assuming that you would definitely agree with that because you wrote it. But
yeah, you know, I love the quote by Gypsy Smith that inspired, you know, not in a technical sense, but definitely moved me to write the book by Gypsy Smith, who said, there's five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian, and most people never read the first four.
Wow, I love that quote. So today we're talking about if you're that scripture that someone's reading because they haven't read the other one, what are they going to find? How do you be a good apologist? How do you bring a defense in a way that draws people in and that people really understand it and want to dive into knowing more about this Savior that we have, Jesus Christ? One of the first questions that I would love to get your insight on, Bobby, is in your experience as a pastor and being an apologist and being in a number of apologetic circles, what have you seen happens when someone isn't disciplined in their apologetics? So let's take kind of a negative approach. What are the bad sides of people that do this maybe in a way that's ineffective or wrong? So kind of just paint that picture for us.
Well, starting off where you left off, kind of some of the negative effects would be kind of getting back to where, you know, you started this off, and that is with our lifestyle and how we're living our life and our behavior. When we come across condescending and arrogant, we don't serve the mission of the gospel well. James Sire wrote a book called A Little Primer on Humble Apologetics. And I think we could all use a little primer on humble apologetics, humility, a kindness, let our speech be seasoned with salt. I think that those are key ingredients. Now, we can have good flavor to the way that we use our words, but we also want content. And so we want to make sure that if we're going to be good apologists, that we don't just operate purely out of an emotional basis. Many people forfeit learning because they have these great relational skills, and they assume that their relational skills is enough. But we can have good relational skills, and that's great. But I would say we should also add to it understanding theology, knowing what it is that we believe and why, knowing the objections that people are going to raise against the claims that we're making. All of that will help contribute to us giving a more robust defense of our faith. I think another thing is when we are learning, we need to be careful in this soundbite culture that we do not just commit to positions too quickly, or we read one blog and we don't fact check it. We want to make sure that we're studying with a level of depth. We want to be able to learn from scholars. You might not be able to start off learning from scholars. You might be reading pastors who are writing on subject matter, like a Timothy Keller. But what happens is the more we learn and the more we grow, we'll get introduced to greater thinkers. And that's what's so exciting. So an irresponsible apologist would be one who behavior is very hypocritical, or whose tone is arrogant and harsh, or who makes conclusions on sound bites and becomes overly black and white and becomes the moral policeman on the web patrol, telling people what it needs to be like and how everybody needs to be more like that person, so to speak. All that stuff can really cause problems. And then the person who really doesn't study well, I think that can be problematic. I think somewhere along the line, though, Tim, an apologist should figure out what area they're most passionate about. General apologetics is great for kind of our immediate exposure, but somewhere along the line, there'll be an area that someone will be more passionate about. For me, moral apologetics is my most passionate area, and getting into that realm, or on the nature of doubt, getting into that. So figuring that out can be really helpful as well, so that we're not ineffective in the fact that we're just trying to do everything and not getting the depth that we need to be most effective.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, as I'm thinking back, as you're talking over my story, I can definitely attest to, you know, when you dip your toe in the water of apologetics, and like you said, there's just so much information, and you start to really digest some of it initially, it can puff you up in that sense. It can really make you feel like you're just going to go out and demolish everybody that you talk to, and you end up being a very terrible ambassador. So I mean, really resonate as I think back over my life in studying apologetics and trying to continue to make that defense, how there have been times where I have fit that bad apologist model. And one of the reasons that I was glad that we got a chance to talk about this with you. So balancing some of that, how do you feel like a good apologist, what does a good apologist look like? Someone that's growing in their apologetic understanding, but delivering it in a way that is effective. What are some of those key areas or issues that you could help point us in that direction that we can be aware of?
So we can kind of just take some of the things we've already shared that we looked at from a negative standpoint, and then we can kind of spin it to a positive standpoint.
Right.
So I think that character formation, becoming like Christ, being great image bearers, realizing the importance of our model as Christians. That doesn't mean we're going to live perfect lives. It just means in our imperfections, we're very aware of the resource of the cross, and we go and we ask for forgiveness from Christ and for those whom we offend through our bad witness, and we get back on track. But I do think we want to be a witness. We want our life to communicate. We want that to be an apologetic of sorts. I think also, if we're going to be really sturdy as apologists, there's things that we can do. We can consider, like Biola has a program, and they have online certificates that they can get, or a master's degree in apologetics. Become familiar with great apologists. Know what their blogs are. Know what their books are. Read some of the different opinions that are out there. I would say start off in apologetics by just reading some good general books on apologetics, like Mere Christianity or Reasonable Faith by William Lane Craig. That's a tall order if somebody's just getting in, but they can get into On Guard and look at that. Reasons to Believe. Was that the name of the one by Timothy Keller?
Yep. Yeah. Reason for God, I think it was.
Reason for God. I thought that was a great book.
Yeah.
Great place to jump in and start. Here you got Keller, who's a pastor. He's very insightful. He'll really resonate. He's persuasive in the way that he speaks. So I think learning some general apologetics, really getting a sense of what does the Bible say about itself, learning how to defend the scriptures, understanding how to give arguments for the existence of God, understanding the nature of man and their fallenness, understanding the atonement and the resurrection, understanding that there's nothing that we could do in and of ourselves to earn God's favor, but realizing that God in his grace has made a way through Jesus for us to experience his forgiveness, understanding questions like, what about those who've never heard, or the problem of evil? So shoring up on some of those questions can really help someone be effective. I think even putting together a good plan, studying with an intentional approach, coming up with, you know, a plan that allows someone to say, you know, I'm going to read a couple general apologetic books in the first month, and then I'm going to read a couple books on the resurrection and a couple books on the problem of evil. And, you know, if someone says, I'm going to do 2 books a month, over a year, they'll have read 24 books. Well, at that stage, they're going to be well equipped to be able to interact with other lay people. But to be careful, because there's are scholars that are not believers that will eat people's lunch if they think that they know more than they really do. We often start our journey getting kind of dogmatic, and that's because we commit to positions. You know, we read one person's book, and we become a follower of that person, but we don't look at the other people that have challenged this person. And what happens is we can set ourselves up for a crisis of faith down the road when we commit to positions prematurely, and then later we read alternative views that really challenge us. So I would say, as we're learning, enjoy the process. What we want to do is simplify this thing. We can focus on loving God, loving people, celebrating the gospel, and in enjoying the learning process, learning the different views, becoming aware of the pros and cons of them. And then in time, once we've thought through that, we'll know why it is we took the position that we did.
That's good. So one final question before we wrap this episode up. I'd love to get your insight on someone that has had a number of conversations over the years, both in a pastoral context, meeting folks just kind of out and about in the community, and, you know, post-speaking events. What's the attitude or demeanor that we should have as we kind of enter into a conversation that could go up, that could be an apologetic conversation? So we're sitting at maybe the doctor's office or something like that, and we strike up a conversation with the person that's in the waiting room, and they start to ask questions, or, you know, we ask. I know that's happened for me a number of times. We're in the South, maybe at the tip of the Bible Belt here. And you might say, like, oh, yeah, I go to church on Sunday, or I have church tonight, or whatever. And people might look at you funny and say, what, you go to church? And that's a good inroad into a conversation like that. But what kind of mindset should we have? What kind of things should we be aware of that might be some pitfalls as we enter into that kind of conversation with somebody?
When we're talking to people, we want to remember we're talking to people. People created in the image of God. And we want to love them, and we want to care about them. And I believe what's so important for us to get is that we can accept one another even if we don't agree with one another. That's true tolerance. Yeah. If I have to agree with somebody, or they have to agree with me in order for me to accept them, then that's not tolerance, and we're going to be miserable people. And so one of the things that I want to do as well is I want to assume that I can always learn something from somebody else, that I don't have all the information, that I could be off on something that I'm sharing, and I need to be humble enough to be able to be challenged. I like the phrase that I use, concessional apologetics. When I'm talking to somebody, Tim, one of the things that I like to do is look for a way to concede something at the outset. Because what that does is it shows that I'm concerned with building a relationship. So, for example, if I'm talking to somebody that's really struggling with the church's stance on homosexuality, and they ask for my opinion on that, and this person happens to be gay, I want to be careful that I don't just jump into the 6 passages in the scriptures and immediately go on a diatribe of explaining why homosexuality is wrong. Rather, I would want to say, you know, I can understand your concerns on this, and I can see how, you know, based on what you've just told me, assuming they said this, that, you know, you have some hurt as it relates to the church and the lack of love that has been experienced. And I'd also want to say something like, I can't imagine what it would be like to have same-sex attraction, and giving a certain canned answer might seem trite. But given that, I would say something like, do you mind if I share with you why it is that I believe the scriptures teach this, and let you know that I hope that there can be a way for us to still be friends, even if you disagree with my conclusions, because I'm in this predicament where I'm feeling for your emotional angst listening to what the church would say and that homosexuality is wrong, and you believing that you have these feelings, I'm feeling for you, but I want you to feel for me that I'm trying to be faithful to this God that I love, who redeemed me, that saved me, and I'm also trying to not put my love for you ahead of being faithful to the scriptures. And I'm hoping that I can share this with you, and you could know that homosexuality is not the be-all, end-all issue. It's just one question, and I too have areas in my life that the Bible challenges me on.
Yeah.
And so I think by doing that, a concessional moment, building a friend, recognizing people as persons, it can allow us then to, at least, even if they don't buy our arguments, then at least we don't leave them thinking we are a bad example for Jesus.
Yeah.
We are an apologetic of at least giving a defense for what we do believe.
That's great. Well, I hope everybody listening enjoyed that as much as I did. That's a really great kind of summary there at the end of how good apologetics or a good apologist is kind of played out in a real life conversation. And I think that was a good, you know, kind of capstone to the rest of that content that we did beforehand. So that's it for today. As far as this podcast goes, please share this with somebody. If there's something in here that you were like, man, I really wish that somebody, a friend of mine or whatever, would hear this, please do that. And I would encourage you to head on over to the oneminuteapologist.com. There are tons of other resources over there, blogs and videos on all sorts of different questions that you or somebody you know might have. If you get stuck in a conversation, feel free to just head over and search the archives for all the different resources we have over there. And we'd also invite you to become a team member, a financial supporter of ours. And when you do that, you can be connected to some exclusive content that we have, some extra videos with scholars there, a once a month webinar with Bobby himself, where you can ask questions, and a number of other really great resources. So go over and check on our website. That's oneminuteapologist.com. You can click become a team member, or you can search right there from the homepage on all the different resources that we have. On next week's episode, we are going to be talking about a big one, an important one, and one I think that, you know, Bobby, having years of experience, you know, pastoring a church, has some really unique insight on, and that's how to get an apologetic ministry started in your church. So I know personally from my experience, when I first got bitten by the apologetic bug, one of the first things I wanted to do was to go to my pastor and say, I want everyone to experience this. So we're going to be talking about that next week on the show. We'll see you next week.